Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, eight lines down on the last word. By Rabbi Avin, Trumata Deshin Begamel. So we are discussing here the Avoda of Trumata Deshin. Question as to whether Trumata Deshin itself is an Avoda. But we want to know, when you do Trumata Deshin, how much Deshin, how much in the way of ashes do you need to remove from the Bizbeach to qualify as accomplishing Trumata Deshin? So Dei says, do we learn that out? Mi Trumat Maaser Yofin La? Do we learn it out of Trumat Maaser, which is 1/10 of the ma'aser rishon that the levi receives, but in context of the greater amount, meaning that the person who took off the ma'aser rishon from his produce, and then the levi takes up 10% from that, it ends up being 10% of 10%, or 1% of the total produce that was there. So do we learn out from Trumat Maaser that should be 1%? Oh, mi Trumat Midyan yofin la, or maybe we learn out from the Truma by Midyan. By Midyan, after they came back from the battle with Midyan with the spoils, over there, a certain percentage of it had to go to the Kohanim. That percentage that went to the Kohanim was dependent on whether it was those that went out to battle versus those that stayed back. And there are numerous numbers over there. Rashi says it references the human captives. That was 1 to 500. Although Tosafot disagrees and says that it's talking about the 1 to 50 ratio that was over there. 1/5 of 1% according to Rashi, 2% according to Tosafot. Now, Tosafot does ask over here, why does the Gemara only misupak with regards to Trumat Maaser and Trumat Midyan? What about Trumat Gedola? Trumat Gedola, which you know is about 2% of the total produce, or Chala, which we know is either 1/24th or 1/48th of the total. So Tosafot gives different answers, but the most convincing answer is the fact that Trumat Gedola and Trumat Chala do not have a shiur min haTorah. They have no exact amount. It just says that you have to take off Reshit, the first of. Now, the first of means even the slightest amount, even the smallest amount. The shiurim that we have by Chala and Trumat Gedola are mi derabanan. They are not mi deoraita. So why would you learn from items that don't have a shiur to Trumat Deshin? Rather, we learn it now from things that do have an exact shiur, like Trumat Maaser and like Trumat Midyan. Gemara says, Tashma, Detani Rabbi Chiya, Nemerkan Ve'irim, Ve'nemer Lahalan Ve'irim. It says over here, Ve'irim, and it says further on, Ve'irim. Malahalan bikumso, avkan bikumso. We learn out from the komets by the mincha. Just like by the komets of the mincha, it says veheirim, that you have to take it out. So to over here, trumata deshin, veheirim is used over here, veheirimata deshin. So that harama will be the same size as that of the komets, which is a fistful, a handful that you take out. Now, as Rashi points out, obviously, you can't do this with your hand. We're talking about burning hot coals or ashes, so you can't stick your hand in there. So Rashi points out that it's just a minimum shiur. It's not a maximum shiur. It's just telling you, you should get out the amount of a komets, the amount that would be a handful, fistful of the ashes. You can take even more, but that's the minimum amount that you must take out. Tosafot points out, why did the Gemara have a suffake in the beginning? That this should also be Beherim. Maybe this is the possible shiur for it, because it has the word Beherim, and it's the most like or similar to Trumat Deshin. Why are we talking about Trumat Maaser? Why are we talking about Trumat Midyan? Why don't we talk about the komets of the Mincha? So Tosafot answers, based on what Rashi said over here, that the Havamina is that it's not relevant, because the way that you take off the komets from the Mincha is that you stick your hand in there, and you take out the palm full of the komets from the Mincha. And that's just not relevant by the Deshin. So the Gemara originally thought maybe it's not relevant at all. The answer of the Gemara is that it is completely relevant, and that is the answer. The answer is that we do take off the amount that is the equivalent to a palm's full of ashes. Obviously, you don't do it with your hand, but that is the minimum measure. Amarav, arba avodot zar chayav alehen mita. There are four avodot in the Mikdash, in which if a foreigner, meaning someone who's not a kohen or not a qualified kohen, does the avoda, then they are chayav mita. Now, that doesn't mean that the other avodot are permitted by a zar. It means that they are asurim, they just won't result in a death penalty. They won't result in mita. So these are the four. Zrika, zrikat adam. Haktara, the placing of objects onto the mizbeach. V'nisuch hamayim, the water libations. V'nisuch hayayin, wine libations. The Levi amar af trumata deshin. And Levi says that also trumata deshin is something that cannot be done by a zar. And you would be chayav mita if a zar did it. You also have in a braita that Levi says something similar, of Trumat Deshin, also Trumat Deshin. All of these items require a Kohen, as the Torah says that it has a Kohen. The question of why there's only Mita by these items, we're going to explain now. My time at the Rav. What is the explanation of Rav's position? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, "Vata uvanecha itecha tishmeru et kunatchem." The whole devar mizbeach only mi beit la parochet vavaretem avodat matana etenet kunatchem vazara karev yumat. So here at the end of the pasuk it tells you, "Azareva karev yumat," that a zar who approaches or tries to do this avoda will be put to death. So that means whatever's in the earlier part of the pasuk describes what a zar karev yumat. And now the Gemara explains, "Avodat matana." What does it mean, "Avodat matana"? Placement of avodah of giving, the law of avodat siluk, and not an avodah of removal. So the avodah that is chayav mita is something that you place onto the mizbeach, not something that you're removing from the mizbeach. Something that you do that is an offering, not something that is removal. The other thing is vavadatem, avodah tama, and it has to be a complete avodah, meaning that it has to be the completion of a process. Below avodah, sheyesh acharei avodah, but not an interim avodah, which has other processes after it to complete the full avodah. So that would preclude Trumat HaDeshen then, because Trumat HaDeshen is Avodat Siluk. It's the removal of the Deshen from the Mizbeach, and therefore, according to Rav, Trumat HaDeshen does not qualify to have a Zara Karev Yumat. The items that he has in his list of the four items are things that are the termination or the completion of a process, for instance, Haktara. Zrikat HaDam is a good question. Zrikat HaDam comes before Haktara. You put the Zrikat HaDam on the Mizbeach, and then afterwards you do Haktara. So Zrikat HaDam is unique in the sense that the kapara is accomplished at the time of Zrikat HaDam. So even though there's haktara afterwards, it's still considered to be an independent avodah. Lastly, the Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin are independent types of offerings to Hashem. They're avodat matana, they're giving to Hashem. And they're also something that's a complete and independent avodah. And so because of that, each of those will result in a chiyuv mitah for the zar. But Levi, how does Levi explain it? It's Rabbi Rachmona. The pasuk there has an additional riboy, which is the chol devar hamizbeach. The chol devar hamizbeach comes to teach you that there are additional items. Now, Tosafot asks over here, when you say the chol devar hamizbeach, what Levi is suggesting is that avodat siluk is not a miut. You know, we say even avodat siluk can be considered to be an avoda, and you would be chayav for it. Why don't we say that the chol devar hamizbeach comes to override the fact that it's avodat tama and not an interim process? We have a riboy. We have two miutim in the pasuk. Why do you only override one miut over the other? So Tosafot says because avodat siluk still involves the mizbeach. So even though avodat matana excludes avodat siluk, but here you have avodat matana and avodat siluk, I have a choice between doing something that is involved in the mizbeach versus something that is an interim avoda, which may not involve the mizbeach. Tosafot does ask from instances where the interim avoda also involves the mizbeach. In the end, he says that Levi really wanted to include Trumat HaDeshen because it's the avodah rishona in the mikdash, and that gives it significance. And therefore, he says the chol devar mizbeach is including the Trumat HaDeshen. Now, what's Rav going to do with this? Rav, ha'u le'atuye sheva hazaot shebifnim v'shebimitzora. Rav says that the chol devar mizbeach comes to include things that not just are on the mizbeach hachitzon, but even matanot that are internal, meaning inside of the kodesh and the kodesh hakodeshim, and that is the hazaot shebifnim, the hazaot adam that come on Yom Kippur or the parim nisrafim and serim nisrafim, where the matanot are done, whether it's in the kodesh hakodeshim, in the kodesh, or on the mizbeach hazahav. That is included by the chol devar mizbeach, as well as by the mitzorah. When the mitzorah brings his korban to be tahor, they sprinkle from the oil, the loaf shemen that he brings, he sprinkles seven times towards the heichal. So those matanot are also included, even though they don't get directly on the mizbeach. The chol devar mizbeach comes to teach you that there's a riboy beyond the mizbeach itself. So the Levi, where does Levi learn these items out from? Nafgalemi davar v'chol devar. Dvar HaMizbeach is already extraneous by itself. So from that we can learn one of these items. And then Bechol Davar, the Kol, on top of that is an additional riboy. So I have two ribuim over here. I have a riboy of Dvar HaMizbeach, which could include the Trumat HaDeshen. And then I have a Chol Dvar HaMizbeach that can include the Sheva HaZaot, as well as the sprinkling of the Mitzorah. Rav, Davar Bechol Davar, Lo Dorish. For Rav, it doesn't seem to be a drusha. It doesn't seem to be they're independent. It's an extraneous phrase, not two independent extraneous items. Ve'ema. So why don't we say now that the chol devar mizbeach is a general inclusionary term. Then, that's a klal. Avodat matana is a prat. Afterwards, that's a detail or description of exactly what we are including. Klal uprat, when we have this as part of the principles of Rabbi Yishmael. Klal uprat, when you have a general inclusionary term, and then a prat, something that specifies exactly what is covered by it. Ein b'chlala mashu b'prat. And the klal does not include anything more than the prat itself, than the detail itself. If that's the case, then mechol dvar mizbeach would not be available to include anything more. So Gemara says, avodat matana in, avodat siluk lo. If that was the case, then it would only be limited to azara kreiv yumat, avodat matana, things that are offerings or presentations, but not avodat siluk, not something that is removal. So Gemara says, amar kara, the pasuk has only beit laparochet. It interrupts the phrase of the klal and the prat with something else, which is you have v'atav benechi techatishmut gunatchem lechol dvar mizbeach, which is what you want to make into the klal. Then v'abarotem avodat matana is what you want to make in the prat. Between those two phrases, you have umli beit laparochet. So beit laparochet is modifying that limitation, and that's what the Gemara says over here. Umi beit laparochet v'avadetem umi beit laparochet hu davodat matana v'lo avodat siluk. Basically, the limitation of only things that are offerings are problematic for the Tzar, and not things that are removal, that's limited to mi beit laparochet. That's inside of the parochet, beyond the parochet. So things that are lefnai v'lifnim in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in that area, that's things that are in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, over there, only Avodat Matana matters, but Avodat Siluk would be problematic. So for instance, on Yom HaKippurim, where the Kohen Gadol both puts the Ketoret there, and removes the Ketoret from there, so when he puts it in, that would be problematic for a Zayar in terms of Chiyuv Mitah. Removing it would be Avodat Siluk that would not be impacted by a Zayar Kriyat Yumat. But this Klal Uprat, or this limitation of only Avodat Matana and Avodat Siluk, is modified by the Beit Laparochet, which means there's a limitation about where it applies. So that means Habachutz, outside Afilo Avodat Siluk. Even things that are removal will be considered problematic. Mar says, V'yachi v'avaratem nami. If you want to say that, why don't you just say the same thing about Vadatem? By Vadatem, we said that includes Avodat Tama, and not Avodah Sheyesh Acharei Avodah. That only complete Avodot, the termination of a process, is considered to be something that you're chayav for, but not interim processes. But if that's the case, you can say, El mi beit laparochet hu, Avodah Tama, v'lo Avodah Sheyesh Acharei Avodah. Habachutz, afil Avodah Sheyesh Acharei Avodah. So wait a minute, if you want to say that mi beit laparochet is modifying here the limitations, the miyutim, so you just said that it modified the Avodat Siluk, and because of that, the Siluk is limited to inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, not outside. So say the same thing about the second miyut. The second miyut, we said, v'avadatem, means an Avodat Tamar, so the complete and terminating Avodah, that should be limited to mipeit laparochet. Why don't you say the same thing over here? Gemara says, v'avadatem hadar arvei kra. V'avadatem, the vav, comes to connect it back to the original statement. So, based on this, you would read the pasuk, when it says, l'chol dvar ha-mizbech as a klal, only mibeit laparochet modifies what comes after it, that's avodat matana. That is modifying that. But v'avadatem, which has a vav on it, connects it back to the l'chol dvar ha-mizbech. And so v'avadatem modifies mizbeach, and tells you that avodat tama, yes, otherwise no. Whereas avodat matana is being modified by Beit LaParochet. And so the miut of Avodat Matana only applies mi Beit LaParochet, not Bachutz. So now the Gemara says, Bayirova, Avodat Siluk Beichal Mahu. The removal, Avodah of removal inside of the Echal, what's the din? Lifnim midaminanle, do we compare it to Lifnai Lifnim, the Kodesh HaKodeshim? O Lachutz midaminle, or do we connect it to that which is on the outside? But we have areas which are clear. Mi beit laparochet, inside of the parochet, which means inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Over there, Avodat Siluk is not considered to be problematic or doesn't result in a chiyuv mitah, whereas Avodat Matana does. Bachutz, in Mizbeach, outside, in the Azara, then we know that Avodat Matana and Avodat Siluk are both problematic, at least according to Levi. Now, what about the space in between them, which is the Kodesh, in Heichal, for instance, the Menorah, the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Lechem Apanim. In those areas, is Avodat Matana the only thing that you're chayav for, but Avodat Siluk, no? Or is Avodat Siluk also problematic over there? Do we compare it to the Kodesh HaKodashim? Or do we compare it to the Chutz, to the Mizbeach HaChitzon? So Gemara says, Hadar Pashto, Rava then concluded, Mibeit, Umani Mibeit. Says, Mibeit the parochet, which is beyond, or inside of the parochet, which would be the Kodesh HaKodashim. Uli Mibeit, that extra ribuy of Uli, comes to teach you that even the Kodesh is included in this statement, and therefore the limitation of Adat Matana, and not Avodat Siluk, would apply not only to the Kodesh HaKodashim, but also to the Kodesh. Whereas Bechitzon, outside, Avodat Siluk would also be problematic, according to Levi. Now the Gemara says, Elamiato Zar Shisideret Shulchan Lichayev. Now, if a Zar sets up the Lechem Panim on the Shulchan, he should be Chayav. Now, as Tosafot points out, Lo Yadana on Man Parich. I don't know who this question was on. Until now, this whole series, we had Rav's position, we had Levi's position. Then the Gemara challenged Levi's position and said, wait a minute, why don't we say that this is a Klalo Prat according to you? The Gemara answers and says, no, that's not an issue because we had the modifier of Umibet La Parochet. Now the Gemara poses a different question and says, well, if a Zar does a vote on the Shulchan, he should be Chayav. So it says, I don't know who they're asking. Are they asking on Rav or are they asking on Levi over here? So he says that he thinks this is a more general or generic question, which is that if we look back at the four Avodot that Rav mentioned, he mentioned both Zrika and Haktara. And again, Zrika, as we mentioned before, is not really a Tama. It's not the end of the line because you have Haktara afterwards. Nevertheless, we still call Zrika Chayav, and that you Chayav Mita for it. So now the Gemara is going to introduce other areas where we have a process, but there are parts of the process that seem to be significant enough that maybe they should be independent. And that's the question over here, which is, when you're Mesader, the Lechem on the Shulchan, that should be considered to be Chayav, like Zrikat Adam. So Gemara says, Ika Sidur Bazichim. You still have to put the bazichim, the little bowls or scoops that have the frankincense in them, levonah inside of them, you have to put those onto the shulchan. So the Gemara says, okay, so sidur bazichim lechayev. If he puts on the bazichim onto the shulchan, that should make him lechayev. Ika siluk v'aktara, you have to remove them and be maktir them on mizbeach. So as Tosafot points out, they don't have enough of a significance independently. So here, the final process is haktara. And that's what Rav already said, told us, you're chayav mita for. But each of those stages along the way are still interim stages and not significant in and of themselves to give them a separate chayav mita. So the Gemara says, what about zar shesideret haminorah? In the morning when they did the dishon haminorah, so a zar who takes care of that should be chayav. The Gemara says, ikanetinat petilot. You still have to put in the wicks. So natam petila lechayev. So he puts in the wicks, it should be chayav. Ika netinat shemen, you have to put in the oil. So natana shemen lechayev, so he puts in the oil, let him be chayav for that azar. Ika adlaka, you still have to light it. Gemara says, chidlik lechayev, if he lights the menorah, then he should be chayav for that. Adlaka lav avodahi, lighting is not considered to be an avodah or significant enough that you're going to be chayav mita for it. Dilo. What do you mean Abraka is not considered to be an avodah? Vatanya, Banu Bnei Aaron Hakohen Ish al Mizbeach, Barchu Etzim al Ish. So Bnei Aaron have to put the fire on the Mizbeach. Again, we're going to discuss this extensively in the Gemara coming up about the Marachot, about placing the pyres on the Mizbeach, what the requirements are from the Psukim in Parshat Tzav with regards to placing wood on the Mizbeach. But there is a requirement that they put a fire on the Mizbeach and they keep the fire burning. Limeid al Hatzatat Talita Shalote Ela Bekohen. Teaches you that if the pyre is beginning to extinguish or simmer down, that they bring in kindling to get it going again. How do I know that that's classified as an avodah? Because it comes out of this pasuk. That not only do they have to put the etzim there for the ish, they have to make sure that the ish stays and is steady, so they have to put on more wood. And since it says over there, kohen, kohen means that it's an avodah. So the Gemara says, well, if lighting that fire or pyre, keeping it alit, is considered to be an avodah, then why isn't that true by Hadlakat and Erot? So Gemara says, that's right. Hatzatat alita avudahi and ochanami. The lighting or the kindling of the fire or the pyres is considered an avodah. Look, they're two separate things. One is putting a fire, ensuring that the fire stays there with wood, something of significance. Over here, you're lighting a little wick. That is not considered to be significant enough or considered to be an avodah. If that's the case, that putting the wood on the Mizbeach or lighting the wood is considered to be an avodah, then a zar puts the wood on the Mizbeach should be chayav. After you put the wood on the main fire, the marachah dola, you have to put on two pieces of wood, a sidre shnei gizrei etzim. Again, this will all come up in the Gemara. We'll explain this later on about the different marachot. So sidre shnei gizrei etzim lechayev. So fine. So he does the next stage. He puts the two logs of wood on the Mizbeach. He should be chayav. Ika sidurei varim. No, then you have to put the evarim of the olah back on top of them to burn after you put on the new pyres. So Mar says, so we have someone who thinks that that's wrong. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you put on the Shnei Gizrei Tzim for a Zar, he would be Chayav Mita. So he doesn't agree with Rav. He thinks that there is a fifth item that you're Chayav Mita for. So why is that? That's exactly their machloket. Mar Savar Abudata Mahi, that putting the Shnei Gizrei Tzim on the Mizbeach is considered to be the completion of an Avoda. Mar Savar Lav Abudata Mahi, the other one holds no. Rabbi Yochanan believes that the putting of the Evarim back on the wood is a separate issue. It's the beginning of a new process. That's not the termination or the end of the process of putting the pyres and the wood on the Mizbeach. That's the mitzvah of Haktarah, to make sure that they get burned on the Mizbeach. So the two are independent, and it's similar to Zrika and Haktarah. And therefore, you're going to be Chayav, Azaru puts on the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim, because that's the last part of the Sidur Amaracha, making sure all the pyres are set up properly. Whereas Rav believes, since you're going to put the Evarim on top of it afterwards, that's considered to be the final stage of that avoda, and therefore it's not considered to be an avodat taman. That's the machloket as to whether you're chayav for the Shnei Gizrei Tzim or not. Tanya kavoti de Rav, Tanya kavoti de Levi. We have a braita that supports Rav's position, and we have a braita that supports Levi's position. Braita that supports Rav's position that there are four avodot to which you are chayav mita bezar does them, and a Tanya, a braita that supports Levi's position that shumat deshen is also an additional item. Tanya kavati de Rav, the braita that supports Rav is avodot shezar chayav aleihem mita. What are these avodot that a zar is chayav mita for? Zrikat adam, ben lifnai, the matanot dam, whether it's in the echal, whether it's in the kodesh hakodeshim, b'mazeh bechatat, someone who does hazaah by the chatat. This is talking about a chatat oaf. There's no kabbalat dam by kli, and you do hazaah by the chatat. Umamatzeh, and mitzui adam that is done by the ola. Those are the matan damim that are done by a chatat oaf and olat oaf. And as Tosafot points out, they're separated out because they are different than the normal way that you do matan dam. Now, all of these are considered to be one item that's zrikat adam, getting dam to the mizbeach. However you do it, here are the different methodologies. Plus, lifnaim, we already know from the riboy of the chol devar mizbeach. All these items, Rav says, you're chayav mita, Vizar does them. That one is chayav mita, Vizar does them. V'maktir bolata of, and haktarah by olata of. And again, here, haktarah by olata of means any haktarah that reaches the mizbeach, that's the completion of that process, those you are chayav for. Now, why the Gemara over here, the Tosef, only mentions haktarah of, and not haktarah of all other kodashim, as Tosef points out, there is a girsa in the Tosef that just says haktarah plain. But then he defends the girsa that we have in our Gemara and says the reason that it mentions haktarah of is because that is in distinction to a chatat of. By a chatat of, the only thing that gets the mizbeach is the dam. There's nothing that goes on mizbeach besides that. So there is no haktarah by chatat of. On the other hand, by olat of, there is haktarah, and it's considered to be significant enough to be haktarah. So the reason they mention Haktarah Ta'of is because it's obvious by the other Kodeshim that Haktarah is considered to be an avoda that a Zar would be Chayav Mita for. The question is, by Olat Ta'of, is that Haktarah significant enough? And the answer is, yes, it is significant enough. And that's why they use Haktarah Ta'of as the example. Ve'amanasech shlosha lugim mayim, you do nisuch hamayim, u'shlosha lugay yayin, or you do nisuch hayayin. Even though before all the Zrikot Adam were combined into one entity, over here, the wine libation and the water libation are considered to be separate. So here you have four items. You have Zrikat Adam, you have Haktarah on the Mizbeach, you have Nisuch HaYayin and Nisuch HaMayim. Those are the four items that Rav mentioned earlier. So that's the Braita that supports Rav's position. Tanya Kavata de Levi, we have a Braita that supports the Levi's position. Avudot Shezar Chayav Lehem Mita. What are the Avudot that a Zar is Chayav Mita for? Merimet Adeshen. Here's one example. Merimet Adeshen. Trumat Adeshen is Chayav Mita. So this supports Levi's position. V'sheva Hazot Shibifnim. And the seven Hazot that are internal. V'shebi Mitzora. And of the Mitzora that Rav agrees with as well. That we learn out from the whole Devar HaMizbeach. V'malei Agabi Mizbeach. And you place something on the Mizbeach. Ben Davar Kasher, Ben Davar Pasul. But it's something that's Kasher or Pasul. Kasher here means something that is supposed to go onto the Mizbeach and you're allowed to put on the Mizbeach. Tavar Pasul is something that should have gone on the Mizbeach, but had Psulo B'Kodesh, therefore it's disqualified from going to Mizbeach. But we have a principle, if something has Psulo B'Kodesh, it became problematic in the Kodesh, then that item, if in Alu, lo yerdu. If it was put on Mizbeach, you don't take it off. So here, if you're maktirit, it's considered to be an avoda because if it gets on the mizbeach, it's not coming back down. So therefore, if a zar participates in such an avoda, he would be chayav mita, even though it's pasul, and it's not supposed to go on the mizbeach. But because if it does get on the mizbeach, it is good and it will remain there, Therefore, you're chayav if you do such an avodah. Now the Gemara moves back to the original part of our sugya about the mepis, the lotteries. Gemara says, lama mepisim. Why do we throw lotteries? Gemara says, lama mepisim, kedamran. That's why we got into this whole topic. Why do we throw the lots? Is because of the incidents that happened in the Azara. One where the Kohen stabbed another Kohen, the other one where the other Kohen got a broken leg from running up the ramp. So they created a lottery system to prevent those types of accidents. Gemara says, no. Lama mepisim, chazir mepisim. Why do they have four different lotteries to select the Kohenim that are going to do the avoda? Why don't you do it all in one shot? In the first lottery in the morning, you have everybody there, and everybody who's there gets to work out the avodah. They don't know why they do it in four separate lotteries. It's to stir up, to make noise in the azara, to make it sound like everybody's busy. There is an idea of having commotion in the mikdash to show that people are busy in the avodat Hashem. So having the lotteries be separate creates a greater commotion and excitement within the mikdash to show that there is activity there and that there's avodah going on in the mikdash. What are the Kohanim wearing when they do this lottery? They're in their weekday clothes, and if they get chosen, then they change into their big day kuna. Big day kodesh. No, they come in their big day kuna, and if they get disqualified, if they don't get chosen, then they strip themselves of the big day kuna and get back dressed in their big day chol. Rav Nachman says the reason that they put in big day chol, because if you allow them to wear their big day kuna, the problem is that if you allow them to come in their big day kuna, they're going to be people with strong arms. People are bullies, and they're going to basically just go and do the avoda. They're going to ignore everybody else, skip the lottery, and just go do the avoda. The fact that they had the big day on already will qualify them to do avoda. So we don't want that to happen. We want the lottery to work out, and we want the proper people to do the avoda. So how do we do that? We say, come in your weekday clothing, and you only get big day kuhuna if you are chosen. Big day kodesh. No, they should wear their big day kuhuna. Dia might be big day chol. If you say they're wearing their weekday clothing, because they love to, they're so excited about doing the avoda, they love to do it, they're just going to rush after the lottery to do the avoda, and they won't have their big day kuhuna on, and that'll be problematic. So we want them to be dressed, so they can immediately go from the lottery to doing the avoda. Amar Rav Nachman, na aminala. Rav Nachman says, how can I prove to you that they're wearing big day chol? Titanan, we have a Mishnah. Masrun lechazanim. Mishnah Tamid says that they gave them over to chazanim. Vayu mashitino tane big dayhem. They used to strip them down. They only had their shorts, pants, sneakers on them, and that was the only thing they had on. My la, botan, shizachu the pious. Isn't this talking about those people that were zocha the pious? And therefore, they're getting dressed now. They went over to the chazanim, and now these chazanim are stripping them down to their mechnasayim, and then they're getting them dressed. So Amar Avuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet, who thinks, no, they're in big day kodesh, says, no, botan shalozachu lepayis. He's talking to people who didn't win out in the lottery, didn't win out in they being chosen to do the avodah, and therefore now they're being stripped down of their big day kuna. Where it says, achanam yistavro, that makes a lot of sense. If you think like Rav Nachman, it's those that had won the lottery and now are going to do avodah, and they're getting dressed in their big day kuna. What do you mean they left their shorts, knickers, pants on them? These are their pants of big day chol. Didn't we have a brighter before that? How do you know you can't put anything on before the big day kuna? In the order of putting on the big day kuna, you can't put anything on before the mechnesayim. With that, we learned to mechnesay bariyu al bisaro. We learned from al bisaro that it has to be the first thing on the basar. There'd be nothing else to be mafsik between it. So if you have your weekday mechnesayim still on, and then he's putting on the big day kuna, it's going to be the last thing you put on rather than the first thing. Vidach. And what is Rav Nachum going to do that? Halokash, achitani. Ad shodan alehem big day chol, malbishan otan mechnesay kodesh. What it means is, as they're stripping down, they don't strip down fully, but rather they put on their mechnesayim from the big day kuhuna, then they take off the rest of their clothing. They remove that clothing. And then they hadn't left in their big day kuhuna mechnesayim, and then they put on the remainder of the big day kuhuna. But they did that because it's tzniut. Then they would never have to be naked because they would pull up the mechnesayim first, then take off their weekday tunic and everything else that they were wearing, and then dress with the rest of the big day kuhuna. So what we're talking about the mechnesayim here is not the mechnesayim that they were wearing prior to this when they came in. Rather, the mechnesayim they're speaking about here are the mechnesayim that they put on of the big day kuhuna before they completely stripped themselves of their big day chol. And that's what we're speaking about over here. Okay, we're going to stop over here, and tomorrow we'll come back and discuss the reason behind Rav Sheshet's position.